Well, it's great to be here today. I was looking at the little card there with the schedule for speakers, and it says Robin Brown. So I guess I'm the fill-in for Robin Brown today. but that's a reminder, if you have one of those, to pray for them. Pray for the Browns, Robin and Gigi. They're stuck in India waiting for their visa to get back to the U.S., and pray for them. But we're going to do three different things today, and I think you're going to enjoy it. First, we're going to hear from one of the other pastors here on staff, and I'll introduce him here in a minute. He just took a trip overseas, and he's going to tell us all about it. Then I want to talk. He went to a couple of our newer fields, and I want to just kind of go through our new fields, and just so you ladies know, the things that really need our attention prayer-wise as we're moving into the fall and next year here. There are a lot of new missionary ventures that are starting up. You've met the people. We ordained and laid hands on Bart and Amy. Well, Bart Horton and he and his family are leaving for Lebanon. But there are other things like that that I just want you guys to have at the front of your mind. So when you're our prayer warriors for missions, and I want you to know what to pray for. So we'll go through that after John gets done. And then finally, Jill asked me to kind of go take you maybe backstage on the missionary conference and just talk to you a little bit about what the missionary conference entails. And, the Shepherd's Conference is 3 days, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. The missionary conference is sometimes 10, 11 days, or at least it was 7 this last year, and includes nights and meals and all, it's extremely complicated endeavor. And I just wanted you to know about just kind of the details of that, and then the people that volunteer their time and make all that possible. And it'll help you in praying for those kinds of things again in the future. So we're going to start out here today with a special visit. You might not recognize Jonathan Rourke, just sitting there. You might not recognize him, but when you hear him speak, you'll recognize him because he does the announcements very often from the pulpit, and you'll recognize that voice. But he does a lot of things around here. He really oversees the administration of Grace Church. He's the pastor who oversees pretty much everything that happens here and really is in a big sense responsible for the money that gets spent here at Grace Church and the people that work here. And he's the pastor that oversees all that. And, of course, there's a group of elders that he reports to, in a sense, and assists. And he can tell you more about that if he wants to. But I actually would rather hear more about missions today than administration. But I just want, he's a very important part of what happens here at Grace Church every day. And that's what his Monday through Friday job is. But on Sunday, he has an even more important job, which is one floor up from this room right here on the third floor, second service. He's the pastor of Mainstream, one of our key, probably the most important adult fellowship group here at Grace Church. That's because I go there too, of course. but I'm just kidding. But he... I know there are a lot of other ones that are great too, but he's the pastor of that fellowship group, so it's a great privilege to have him and come report on his recent trip. He just got back yesterday from China and the Philippines, and he's going to tell us about his ministry over there. Come on up, John.
All right. Well, thanks, Kevin. It's great to be with you this morning. It's great to be in this room that is... just exudes, all the power that is in this room, the power of prayer, the fact that you are all, or many of you are the necks of the household, the neck that turns the head of the household. So there is a lot of power in this room, and I can sense it. And I just want to thank you for the opportunity to be here and to give you a little update on the ministry that we had over in China and in the Philippines. It is definitely the highlight for me throughout the year to be able to go overseas and visit our missionaries. The Lord has seen fit to ground me, as it were, for the last few years as I worked through some issues with my own visa here in the U.S. I'm a Canadian citizen, and so it wasn't until January that I was able to get my green card and finally begin to travel again. And so this is the first trip I've taken in quite some time, and it was really so good to get back on the field and to visit with our missionaries. Our fellowship group here at Grace Church Mainstream is focused on missions. We send numerous people from our fellowship group to the mission field. The elders that serve alongside me in Mainstream include Kevin Edwards and Brad Armstrong and Irv Busnitz, all of whom are also part of ECHO. So it's very much the heartbeat of what we do, and so we're really excited to be able to partner with our missionaries. I wanted to give you just a bit of an update on how that went. It began with a trip to Hong Kong. and was there for Sunday night and Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday for a conference that was set aside for families. Well, after we finished up our time there, we got in the car and headed to the airport on Saturday, and I was preparing to preach Sunday morning in a church in Manila. There are two large churches in Manila. One of them is called GCF, and one of them is called CCF. And there's actually another one called VCF. They all have these similar names, but these are churches that our elders here at Grace have had some interaction with. We're definitely coming alongside them every way that we can to help them as they work through some of their leadership issues. They had a founding pastor there who stepped down from that ministry, handed it over to the elders, and then just a few weeks ago suddenly died. And there was some turmoil in that church among the leadership, and everything just ended up going a little haywire. All the leadership stepped down, and they're now in the process of rebuilding the elder board. And so this was an opportunity for me to go just to preach there and to encourage them. I'll pull up a picture here and kind of go through these to give you an idea of what it's like here. Let me see if I can do this. So this is just a picture of, obviously, me preaching at that church. So it's taken by Sean Ransom. You guys have been, I'm sure, praying for the Ransoms as well. They were kind enough to host me while I was in Manila, and so took me to their home, picked me up at the airport, took me to their home, and then dropped me off here in the morning. Two services back-to-back, and they begin early. I thought we started early here, you know, at 8:30. They started about 8 o'clock there, and so that meant that given time for traffic, you know, had to be in the car before 6:30 and heading out to church, and so it's really an intense day, but it was very fruitful. It's another picture of GCF, and I think there might be one more here. So the people were wonderful. They've got an interim pastor there now. You can be praying as well for Sean in this regard. Sean knows these leaders that are there. Sean is obviously praying for this church. Sean attends this church. And so what happens in the next month is going to have a direct impact on Sean's ministry there, because when the new leadership is formed, that's going to send this church in a direction. And it's either going to work favorably towards what Sean is doing there and training up the leaders and some of the lay teachers, or it's going to work against him. And the church is really at a crossroads. And so my prayer is that the right man gets in there who will pastor that church, that the elders come alongside him, and that they keep it going in the direction of expository preaching. It's relatively new for them. And so they actually said, I want you to come in. They assign you a text. And so I was assigned a text, and then I was given 30 minutes to preach through this text. And they said, now we want you to give us an example of expository preaching. And it was a text that was probably twice as long as I would normally do in about one quarter the amount of time that I would normally have. So it was an interesting opportunity, and you sort of, again, have to be flexible and try to make that work. So I certainly feel like we were just skimming the surface, but even afterward, people were commenting on their appreciation for it. And so you can see there's a hunger there, and this church is at that crossroads. So let's just pray that they make the right choice and they go towards the path of true expository preaching. Well, after we did this Sunday, we left Monday to go to a place, little island, to teach some poor rural pastors in the island of Boracay. Now, this island is known for its beaches and its beach activities and snorkeling, scuba diving, stuff like that. So it's sort of a tourist spot, but it's also a place where we were able to get together with some pastors from the area and teach them for a week through hermeneutics, through just the study of how to interpret scripture. And so here are some pictures from that trip. You can see we had about 30 pastors in there. These are all men who come from either the island of Boracay or the surrounding area. And just to give you some perspective, many of them showed up with only one book, and that was a Bible. That was all that they had to lead their people with. It's the only resource they had was one Bible. And most of the guys, when I looked around, they had a King James Version, and it was a Gideon Bible that had been given to them, and that was it. So you can imagine that what we were doing with them was the very basics of how to interpret the Bible correctly and then be able to teach it. Now, some of them had been trained a little bit, and they had been trained in the importance of teaching the Bible expositionally. So that was a praise. But you can see how that can be taken to an extreme. And there's one gentleman here, which you'll see, this young man took me aside and he said, "I need some help, Pastor." I said, "Okay, what's the issue?" He said, "Well, I feel like my people are just not tracking with me. You know, they're getting bored when I preach." And I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "But I'm just trying to be faithful. I'm trying to preach expositionally." I said, "Okay, well, what are you preaching through right now?" He said, "Psalm 23. I said, "Okay, so how's that going?" He says, "Well, you know, I took 16 weeks to go through Psalm 23. I said 16 weeks to go through Psalm 23? And he said, yeah. I said, "Oh, wow." And he said, "Explain to me how that went." And he said, "Well, I began with, you know, 'The Lord is.'" And he says, and I said, "Okay, well, that's good. That's a good place to start." And I said, "Explain to me how that went." He goes, "Well, he preached three sermons on the Lord." And one of the other students in the class overheard this. And he says, "Wow, man." He says, "You're slower than MacArthur." But this guy's heart was such that he had such a passion to do it properly and to go as deep as he could go that he was going to juice the life out of every single word when he preached. So we were there to kind of help him bring some balance and perspective to it, to say you want to be faithful to be an expositor, but you also want to make sure you're communicating a whole idea, or in this case, a whole psalm maybe. Take a couple of sermons, not 16. And I was just thankful he was preaching through Psalm 23 and not like Isaiah or something. You know, he buried the people. So it's that sort of thing. And you don't know that going in. I mean, you're not told that before you arrive. That's the sort of thing you have to be prepared to do when you get there. And so as you're praying for Sean and for the ministry there, be praying for men like this man who are trying to be faithful, but they just lack the resources and a little bit of guidance. All they need are some resources and some guidance, and they totally open up. And by the end of it, he was so almost broken and like repenting of it. And I said, "You didn't do anything wrong. It's not a sin. Just you need to kind of tweak your format a little bit." But they're just hungry. They want to learn, and they're very teachable. So this is another shot of that class. There's also a young lady there. She's not a pastor, but she's the wife of one of the men there and just has a hunger to understand Scripture better. There's this man right here at the back in the green shirt. This is the brother of Tina Hilario. Maybe some of you know Tina. She's one of a Filipino lady who's in our church here, and she's in one of my Logos classes. And so she called her brother to make sure that he came over to be a part of this. And he's a pastor in a neighboring area. He got on a on a bus and took a bus 5 hours to be at the training. The other men took buses, and it took them 3 hours to get there. These are the group of men. Some of them actually had to leave because they couldn't be gone away from their church. We ended the training on Friday afternoon, and they needed a whole day Saturday just to travel back so they could be at their church on Sunday. So this is some of the men. There's maybe 5 or 10 men missing from here. There were also a number that came just to really kick the tires, as it were, to see what we were teaching. And some of them got, you know, very offended because of the positions that we took. And just we tried to be as gracious as we could be. But to be clear, and this is where we stand on certain issues about the gifts, miraculous gifts, about maybe women in ministry, some of the key areas for hermeneutics. And some of them actually left. But, you know, that's okay. That's part of what we do. Part of what you do is you just preach as clearly as you can. And some people will stay for it and they eat it up. Others reject it and they leave. I almost prefer that because then we know by the end of it, you're left with the ones who really want to learn and grow. And that's what you see here in this group. This pastor right here, Pastor Angelo, he's a remarkable man. He's 39 years old. He's planted 5 churches on the island of Boracay. And he is training up. His pattern is he will plant the church. He trains up a man, a pastor, plants the pastor and the church and a man who that pastor trains. Okay? So every church has a pastor and a man being trained by that pastor that he trained. And they now, so 10 of his men were there. And this is his pattern throughout this little island. And it's amazing just what Lord is doing through this one faithful man. And what kills me is when I met with him to begin with, he was sharing with me that he was so excited that he had an opportunity to use the MacArthur commentary that they had. And so on this island, they have one MacArthur commentary. It's one volume of Romans, of the Romans commentary, and that's it. They all have to share it. So among the 10 men who are training, they all take turns sharing it. And so you're only allowed to have it for a month, and then you have to give it back. And so this was his month to be able to work through this one commentary. So when I emailed the elders from this training, I said, we're going to have to do something to solve that problem and make sure that there's some MacArthur commentaries on the island. So we're going to make sure we do that. But you can be praying for them as well. Okay, this is just a shot of me and Angela walking through the area here on Boracay. It was raining when we arrived. It's like I said, it's kind of a touristy area. So it was, we had half a day of downtime there on Saturday morning. So we did some snorkeling and walked around the beach area. It was very nice. Well, after that, I was came back and was able to preach at a different church. This is called CCF. This is a large church that was, again, also in transition. Very interesting. They have really adopted, over the last couple of years, much more of a seeker-sensitive approach. This is probably the first church that I preached in that was openly seeker-sensitive. They brought in a lot of stuff from Bill Hybels and from Rick Warren. And again, what we're noticing here is that you've got these two opposing sides. And the elders that invited me to speak there are ones who desperately want to see the church go back to its roots of expository preaching. And the roots are still there. You know, the tree is not dead yet. The roots are there. So much so that they insist that you preach for an hour. And so they, all the externals have gone more towards the other model, but they still wanted you to preach for an hour. And I said, why? I don't understand. I'm trying to reconcile the two. Because everything about this when I got there told me that that wasn't what the people would tolerate. And the elders said, you have to understand, the men who are currently leading this church still, at least some of them, were trained up on MacArthur's messages. And they gave their testimony. It's much the same testimony that I have and many of the seminary guys here and many people who have come to Grace Church have, which is you're in a place where their teaching is not very good. You hear John on the radio. You're impressed by the fact that this person teaches verse by verse. You just have to be around that sort of teaching. And then if you're someone like me, you jump in the car and you drive across the country, you come to seminary. These men were trained up on his teaching. And so this church was built on that. They still hold to it, but they're on the verge of being led astray into some things that are not very profitable. So I'd also ask you to pray for them. Pray for this church, CCF, just that they would remain faithful to their heritage and they would not get turned aside into these programs what do they call it? They like packages of material. So they'll adopt something like a Bill Hybels will give them a leadership. It's called PDL. Kevin, what does that mean? That's the Rick Warren, purpose-driven leadership or purpose-driven life or something like that. So they give them a whole 12-week package. And they're transitioning now. They don't want to preach and prepare anymore. They want to just get a package and pop in the DVD and train everybody that way. And so our prayer is that they won't go that way and instead pull them back and just teach the word. So this is that CCF church. There are three services in this one. So I had to preach for an hour back-to-back three services, which I have to admit, by the end of it, I had no clue what I was saying. I had no idea. I mean, I was trying to tell a story. I was trying to give an illustration, try to be funny. I'm like, I feel like I've said this 10 times today. I have no idea if I'm just repeating myself, if I said this earlier. it's really a strange feeling. But anyway, they have about 6,000 people there on a Sunday that cycle through these three services. And quite an interesting place. Oops, that's it. We're back at the other ones. So, specifically, another prayer request, just while I'm thinking about it as I wrap up, that area where we met for the training, I showed you some pictures on the island, that is actually owned by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, of all people. And they're in the midst of some legal dispute, and so they're actually going to shutter the whole thing. They said, if you come back next week, it'll all be boarded up and padlocked. And so until they can settle this dispute and sell the land or transfer ownership to something else, they're going to lose that opportunity to use the spot. And there's a great facility right next door that seats about 600 people, where they could have more training or plant a church there. And so the prayer would be just that whoever buys it, whoever ends up taking control of this thing, that they would be able to rent it for training and for church services as well, instead of being shut out, because it's one of the only locations on the island where they could meet and have those many men in there to be trained. So please be praying for that as well. All right. Any questions? Yes, ma'am. You know, it's very interesting. The at CCF, that this church here, I had numerous people come up and they were just so thankful, and they said that's the sort of teaching that we need here. And they were probably, on the balance, at least one generation older than me. And it was so sad for me to see that core group who had been there at the church for maybe 20 years, that they've gotten lost in this last couple of years. This new philosophy has moved in. And a few of them who are more outspoken have said, no, this is not helpful. Okay, we want to go back to what it was. And the main pastor there, who's unfortunately pushing a lot of this, calls them rebels. They're just rebels. They're just causing division. And they're saying, no, we're not rebels. We were here a decade before you arrived. I mean, this is how it was. We wanted to go back to the way that it was. So, yeah, they were very thankful. And we'll just see. You know, time will tell where it heads. Yeah. All right. Okay, well, thanks, Kevin. Appreciate the opportunity. Yeah, my son Andrew is doing just amazing. In fact, my family is all still up in Canada. My wife's grandmother died while I was in China. And so she packed up all four of our kids and had to go up by herself up to Canada. So amazing, though. And I'll say this. I know I've gone so long. Sorry, Kevin. I'll just say this one thing real quick. When, you know, just, I know some of you are praying for that. It's just amazing how God, you know, answers those prayers and providentially orchestrates events so that the right people come in at the right time who help her out and make the trip smooth. It was amazing. All four of my kids are well behaved on the flight the whole way up. I mean, that is God, definitely. That is if you don't believe in miracles today, you know, I'm telling you. I mean, that's a sign and a wonder, okay? But, did fantastic. Andrew's doing fantastic. Fantastic. And so he's healed, and God just healed him and restored him to us. And so we're very thankful for that. Thanks for asking, for praying.
Well, thank you, John. I think we should just spend a couple moments in prayer here over some of these things that he asked us to pray for. And also, why don't we just include the second part of what I was going to do in this prayer time was just to mention, you know, the kind of the key new fields that we have, and we can just briefly pray for them as well. Obviously, two of those are the Philippines and China, where you see the hunger for the word, the hunger for the teaching and the training and expository preaching, and the need for really more bodies over there to do what we need to do there. And that would also apply to Lebanon, where we just ordained and sent out Bart and Amy Horton. They're still waiting for their visa to leave, so you may still see them around here for a couple more weeks. But great hunger and desire there in Lebanon. Bart and Amy, the first ones to go. There are three others behind them preparing to go, but we need to pray them to the field, the rest of them, so they'll all get there. Then we have, you know, Gus and Melissa Pidal. You know them. They've been in here, and they're kind of on their last lap of getting over there, and we expect them to be sent out very soon, too, to head over to Spain to join David Robles, the TMS graduate who's already over there. But a great hunger there as well. And now there'll be two guys in Spain. We need a couple more. Then you might also just pray for the Czech Republic and Lance and Sandy Roberts. Are they coming in here soon?
We're going to have a luncheon with them.
Yeah.
The last day before the break.
Okay, you don't want to miss that, the luncheon the last day before the break with Lance and Sandy Roberts. And, you know, they've been in Czech Republic by themselves for close to 10 years now. And the Lord has provided two guys now that are wanting to join them. Both of them speak Czech, so it's really amazing. But just pray that they'll be able to get their support, these other two guys, and kind of finalize the plans even before they start raising support to go there, and that the Lord would get them to the field. There's real hunger there for need there in Czech Republic, which you'll hear about from Lance when he speaks. So why don't we just spend a couple minutes of prayer, and then I'll go into the missionary conference portion. Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us and to our church, and just the privilege of having such an outreach here throughout all the world, Lord, and not only to be able to have missionaries and have ministries over there, but even be able to send our pastors over there like John Rourke, Lord. And we just thank you for his willingness to go for 3 long weeks and go to these different places. And preach sermon after sermon after sermon, and just give of himself completely just for you, Lord, and that your truth might be proclaimed. So we thank you for that, the ability for him to do that, and just the opportunity for our church to be a part of these things. Lord, we would pray for his family as they return back to him tomorrow from Canada. Be with them, give them safety and blessed time there with their family. And Lord, we would pray for the choice and their need for an apartment. Pray you provide that, Lord, in your time. And we pray that be quickly, if you'd be pleased, Lord. They're in a temporary place and need a place. You know that, Lord, so we pray you provide an adequate place for them to live and minister, Lord. And just thank you for the hunger for your truth there. Pray you'd be with John and Monica Zeng as they are planning to go join Raymond. And pray you'd get them there in your time and as quickly as possible, Lord, that they might help them to meet the need there of your truth being taught. Thank you for the ransoms, Lord, and the hunger for the expository preaching there. Just pray, Lord, that you would. There are three other guys preparing to go and to join Sean, and we just pray you'd make that possible as well, and just allow that hunger to be met, and the church is there to be protected from what we heard of just this influence of things that take their focus away from your word and towards tricks and programs that seem to be enticing to churches but really don't help them because they don't ground people in your truth. So, Lord, we just pray that you'd allow the training of many, many pastors there for your honor and glory, that they might preach your truth clearly and accurately. Pray for those churches, Lord, there, the GCF and CCF, that you'd protect them, Lord. We'd also pray for the Shucks today as they're leaving today to return to India. Just pray you'd be with them and give them grace as they travel this long trip through Singapore and then on to India, Lord. And the kids, their first trip, just pray you'd be with them in a special way today. And finally, Lord, we pray for the Shryocks. Lord, the message we got just from them today that they're traveling from the south part of Cameroon, the capital, on a plane trip tomorrow morning, which is pretty soon here, our time, heading up to the north to return back to their village and the Kotoko people there in Cameroon. Lord, just pray you'd be with them in a special way and that you would be just guide them, protect them, Lord, as they move back to the village and be with Susan and the kids and Aaron, Lord, as they move back into probably the most remote place that any of our missionaries live. So you'd pray that you'd give them a good return back to their village and just give them a quick return back into the language, and pray you'd help them to learn how to communicate clearly with the people so that they might proclaim you to them. So thank you again for them and the privilege of serving you in all these different places, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, now, in the 10 minutes I have left, how long is that video?
10 minutes.
Okay, well, either we hit the play or you're going to hear me for a minute. You ladies all right with an extra 5 minutes or so? I'll try to rip through this as quickly as possible. Well, Jill wanted me to just tell you a little bit about the background, kind of the take you backstage on the missionary conference. Oh, I just want to give you a picture of the Moorheads. Remember, we had to Skype with them, and I know we didn't see their kids, so I just threw that up there so you'd see their kids this summer. But you all remember the missionary Sunday, Mission Sunday we had here in August, near the end of August, and that was one of the events that we had. All the missionaries up on stage, that was a special moment. Yeah, I'm going to try to take this off to the side here. So I can see what I'm doing. That was special. And really, the missionary conference was two different events. This Sunday one, and then the whole week before that. And this is who we had together that whole week, all the missionaries. This is our group picture for the year. But these are the people that make this happen. And I especially want to point out Rich and Diana Hall, and then Stephanie Wolcott. Those three people give of their time. I mean, we're already planning the next one, which is 2 years from now. And they oversee all these people, the volunteers that make this possible. All these people, not one of them gets paid a penny to do this. They give up, you know, probably 2 weeks of their lives in the, you know, when the missionaries are here, and before that, planning and preparing, you know, probably months of time, and just make all this possible with the missionaries. So, you know, what does it take to have a missions conference? First, you got to have a place to find a place that will even talk to you. Most places, you tell them we got kids, and all, they say, "Oh no, 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 we don't want kids. Well, we have business, you know, orientation. If you want to bring adults in, that's fine, but no kids." So, even to find a place that will help us with kids is a big deal. Then we have to find meeting rooms where we can have meetings. Then line up speakers. Kerry Hardy did an excellent job with our missionaries the week of the missions conference that we had in Oxnard in August. Just, he was our main speaker and had a few other people come and speak. You might recognize that was Phil Johnson and Wayne Mack, and you might recognize that guy too. Pastor John came up. And then you got to line up musicians, and Scott Frankfurt came, and then we had kind of the all-star band that came too that Nick Brown helped put together over here. He's part of, and of course, Christian Ebner singing there. But then you know, you have to have rooms to meet, and then the food. And of course, Linda Washington knows all about the food because she and her husband oversaw the whole food. And food is a big deal here, not just ice cream, but we ate outside, and you had to organize having food outside prepared and ready to go for people. You know, things like this, in and out, missionaries love that. People ate inside. You had to have that all organized and set up, different meal, 3 meals a day. And so the meals is a big deal. But then, you know, that's pretty much all the adult side of things. And then you got the whole, there's a whole other parallel track to the missionary conference, which is the kids. And that's what most of that team of volunteers does, is help with the kids. And you have the younger kids, and you have the older kids as well. So even within the children's, there's two different tracks of those, and really whole teams of people that keep the kids busy and take care of the kids so that the parents can have adult time and sit under teaching that they don't get the opportunity to do when they're in the field. And so this team of volunteers would get together every morning late and early and every night late, and they probably didn't sleep more than a couple hours, you know, a night while they were there, just busy all the time planning every day before it happened. And you know, you got to teach the kids, and all different venues here. You have to have rooms to do all that in as well. Of course, then you got to get them outside and have crafts to do, and have some fun outside too. And Lauren, are you in there? I think you're in that picture. But and then they even take them on field trips to the zoo. You see the elephants over here. Took them on to the zoo. And then the older kids got to go on a boat all the way out to one of the Channel Islands and go have some fun out there. And all kinds of things happened. Our whole IT department here at the church shut down for a week and went out there. This is Erin Dibble. She oversees IT here at the church. And there she is helping Rose Dosti, one of our missionaries, with her, you know, the whole IT department goes to help her figure out how to click on something, you know. I mean, but that's the kind of thing that happens. Everyone just drops everything and comes. I mean, you had pedicures going on up there. You know, people come, say, "I want to come." "Oh, what can you do?" "Pedicure." "Okay, come." You know, people lined up outside to get a pedicure for free. And then you had even, you know, Lucas Van Dyke taking that picture I showed you. But all kinds of people behind the scenes that make this possible. So when you think of praying for the missionary conference and whatnot in the future, you know, certainly pray for the missionaries that they'll be able to get there safely, have a great time. But there's a whole army of people behind them that make this possible. So don't forget to pray for them. Here they are. So just praise the Lord for each one of them. Some, you'll even notice some of these are missionary kids. You got, let's see, a couple here. You got my son there. Down here, Carissa White. Anyway, there's even, it's neat to see the older missionary kids now are part of the volunteer team to come help with the missionaries. So anyway, that's a little bit behind the scenes. Before we show the video, just let me real quickly read you some of the things that just a few little things that missionaries sent in saying why they were thankful for the missionary conference. I don't even have a name here, but we were so absolutely overwhelmed at the love heaped on us and hardly feel even a fraction of it is in any way deserved. Thank you so much to everyone who played a part in making the missionary conference such a blessing to us. Wonderful conference. Carrie's practical teaching was outstanding. The date night and afternoon for couples was great and should be repeated. Our marriages need continual attention, so don't think we've got that covered and don't need to touch on that again. Additional conference on this topic are needed in the future. Good job on freeing up afternoons for optional things with no required meetings. It's taken us about 10 tries to finally get the schedule just right, right balance between enough meetings and enough free time. So I think we're finally found that right balance. Also, it's positive we didn't start too early in the morning or go too late in the evenings. Thank you for your love and concern and sacrifice. Thanks for having the conference in the summer so our kids don't miss school. So these are just all things they're thankful for. Thank you for everything. You have no idea how much this conference means to us and our family. Thanks for all the hard work and effort to pull this off. And then finally, thank you for the child care programs. Every year, it's amazing. The workers are incredible. This is the best part of the conference for those of us with kids. Just like Brad Clausen said, he said this on the last evening of the conference, that even if there wasn't anything for the adults at the conference, it would all be worth it for the children. So some special notes there from the missionaries. So why don't we play? Here's a video that we put together for the missionaries, just to show them kind of what had happened throughout the week. And when that's done, we're finished.